Well, hello everybody. Welcome to Homebound Homefront Edition 3, I think. I think it's Edition 3. Got my handy dandy Homefront mug here. So we have yours there as well. Trying to keep things as normal as possible. So if you want to pause and do your discussion questions, you can do that. Otherwise, we'll just jump right in. So if you want to pause, now's the time to do it, to do your icebreaker questions. If not, we'll just move right along. A couple of housekeeping things to get into. This week, first of all, is anniversaries. So if you had any of our April anniversaries, congratulations. Obviously, we can't have you raise your hand. But it might be fun, if you think of it, to email me a couple of pictures maybe. Maybe a picture from your wedding and a picture from today or something more recent. And we can share it around with the rest of the group. That would be fun. So if you want to send those on to me, I would really appreciate that. Or if you post stuff on social media, you know, maybe throw a little at RBC Homefront into your post so that it shows up for the rest of us too, so we can take a look at it. We'd love to celebrate with you. Speaking of social media, just a reminder, we do have our Facebook and Instagram pages now. So if you haven't followed us already, great time to do that now as we're trying to keep in touch with each other online and kind of keep everybody up to date and connected. So definitely follow those and share them with other people. Who knows? Maybe we can, when we eventually do get together again physically, maybe we'll have even more people, as part of our Homefront family than we had when we stopped. So making a few little adjustments here to my screen. Sorry, my recording. All right, so now that we've got the housekeeping stuff out of the way, let's jump into our talk for today. We're into part 15, I think it's 15, of our annual maintenance check. We're getting close to the end. We've probably got another, I think maybe two or three sessions to go after this one. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, the annual maintenance check is just something we've been using as a metaphor. We've been using the idea of an airplane maintenance check, and how do airplanes continue over years and years and years, continue to be able to fly safely, continue to be able to complete their mission? Well, it's because they undergo rigorous inspections all the time. And just like those inspections, it's important in our marriage to be able to look at different aspects of our marriage, to not become complacent, to continue to invest in our marriage over time so that our marriages can continue to glorify God the way they were designed to do, continue to be sources of joy for us, and sanctification for us, and a blessing for the church and for our community. So, with that being said, this week we're jumping into the topic of parenting. And the title of our talk today is Parenting from the Same Page. I think I mentioned this in my email. If you're an empty nester, don't jump off here. We would love to have your wisdom and during our discussion time. So please stick in there because we would love to hear from you. And who knows, maybe you will pick up something new that you something new that you didn't learn while you were doing your parenting that might be helpful to your kids as they parent their kids, your grandkids. So that being said, let's get going. And actually, no, I'm going to stop again. This is the beauty of being able to do this on video because I can add things in as I go. If you don't have kids yet and you're thinking, well, we don't have kids yet, this isn't for us, I would really, really recommend that you hang in there and watch this because the time to begin preparing for parenting is before you become parents, not after. And you'll get to see why that is more and more as we go along. So stick with us. All right. Flying the aircraft, so to speak, flying the aircraft of marriage is complicated enough, as we've all seen throughout this series. It's complicated enough when it's just the two of us. But what about when we add passengers to the mix? And not just any old passengers. What about when we add crazy passengers? Passengers with endless special meal requests. Passengers with emotional support pigs. Passengers who think every moment is a party and refuse to sit down when the fasten seatbelt light is on. Passengers who want to dress as a superhero or a princess pretty much every day, no matter where you're going in any circumstance, right? Passengers that just do crazy stuff. Passengers who seem to get more of their meal on their tray table and the floor than they do in their mouth, right? These are the kinds of passengers that we bring into our homes when we begin to have children. Not only at this point do the captain and the first officer need to communicate to each other, but they have passengers to be managed as well and passengers that need to be communicated with. So the opportunities for miscommunication and misunderstanding increase exponentially with children. And then another twist, the metaphor gets even crazier because, you know, you realize that they're not just passengers. You need to train these passengers to become part of the crew and eventually to fly their own plane. So it's a challenge, right? I think we all recognize the challenge. One thing I want us to keep in mind as we head into this is that the children, as challenging as they are, children don't create problems in marriage, but they do reveal them. So for instance, if you have issues in communication, if you have issues with compromise prior to having children, they will expose and exacerbate those in your marriage when they do come along. It's not their fault, it's just what they do. So that's an extra special note for those of you that haven't started having children yet. Another reason why it's so important for you to listen to this now and to begin preparing now. Okay, so we all agree on what the challenges are, but how do we face those challenges? You know, recognizing the challenges is really the easy part. How do we deal with it? So what I want us to do today is we're going to try together to answer a couple of questions. The first one is, and maybe the title here is Parenting from the Same Page. So the first question that we need to answer is, how do we get on the same page? And maybe a sub-question of that is, what are the pages that we're supposed to be on at all? The second part of it is like, how do we manage when we can't seem to agree on a particular aspect of parenting? How do we approach that? What is the healthy way to approach that? And honestly, I think the things we're going to talk about today really can apply to almost any major area of our marriage, not just children. So here we go. We're going to start off first with looking at what are the pages? How do we get on the same page? What are the pages that we need to get on in the first place? So what I want to start off with is this. First thing, most important, we need to agree on the big vision of parenting. What is our goal? What kind of people do we want our children to become? And we need to, as we talk about that, we need to think about this from God's perspective, not the world's perspective. We need to resist trying to see things through the lens of our culture, through the lens of society. We need to see things through the lens of God's vision for our children, right? And I put a couple of verses on there that I think could be helpful. First one, you know, 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And then 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We need to have a big picture vision for what we want our children to be like as adults. Not what kind of kids necessarily we want them to be as they go through childhood, but what do we want them, what kind of people do we want them to be when they enter into adulthood? Because honestly, all of the things that the world puts out there, like, you know, we want to, you know, the idea of success, we want our children to be well-educated. We want them to have a good job, to be able to go to a good college. We want them to be successful in sports or successful in music or whatever it happens to be. Those are the things that the world will focus on. What God tells us is seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things will be added to you. If we invest in the things that God says are important in our children as they're growing, right, in their character, the other things will follow. The other things will follow. We need to rest in that. So that's the first thing. We need to agree on what the big vision is. What do we want? How would we describe the adult that we would like our child to be? The second one after the big vision is really agreeing on principles. I love this quote from a guy named Harrington Emerson. It says, as to methods, there may be a million and then some, but principles are few. The man who grasps principles can successfully select his own methods. The man who tries methods ignoring principles is sure to have trouble. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that there are all kinds of strategies and tactics out there. But without principles, you're going to be like that person being blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine, every wind of teaching. Principles are the things that need to drive your selection of your strategy, drive the development of your strategy and the selection of your tactics. Those things have to grow out of or be driven by principles, because if they're not, there is so much information out there in the world, much of it very good, but much of it really bad and worldly in regard to parenting. And if you don't have some principles that are like your anchor, that are holding you fast, then the tendency will be to kind of be, you know, being kind of jerked back and forth by different winds of doctrine, different teachings that are out there regarding parenting. Okay, so make sure that you agree on your principles. We have a class actually every fall at RBC called Parenting Principles. It's a 6 or 7 week class, so if that's something that you are interested in exploring what are biblical principles for parenting, then that's a class that I think would be helpful to you. All right, so we said we're going to agree on that. We need to agree on the big picture vision. We need to then agree on our principles. The third one is that we need to agree on our source for parenting guidance. This is really, really critical. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The man or woman, right, of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And isn't that what we really want for our kids? We want them to be equipped, competent for every good work. I think I mentioned this when we talked about finances, when Jim Supp came and talked to us about finances, that there was one point in our marriage where Patricia and I, we didn't see eye to eye on everything regarding finances. And it wasn't until we took a course on biblical finances that we realized that we were each coming at the subject of finances from our own perspective, with our own ideas, with our own ways of doing things that we drew out from our childhood. And some of those things were good, but some of those things were not biblical visions for finances. And it wasn't until we got a real good look at what God's vision for our finances was that the argument stopped, because it was no longer my thought or her thought. It was God's thoughts and his ways. And we both recognize his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we were able to norm on, what does God say about this? The same thing goes for parenting. What does God say? What does God say about our parenting? That needs to be our primary source, and the source by which we measure every other source as well. Colossians 2:8, right? See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So anything, any kind of worldly wisdom, and I don't mean to say that, or wisdom of the world, okay? Wisdom, all wisdom is God's wisdom, okay? So sometimes what we call worldly wisdom is actually foolishness. But there are some things that you can learn in the world outside of the Christian community that is actually wise and good. And the way that you can tell is by measuring it up against Scripture, by weighing it against Scripture, by looking at it through that lens, that God's eye lens. So weigh those things carefully as you draw them, as you're taking those inputs in and using those sources. Remember that your primary source, and norm on that together as a couple, that our primary source for guidance and for wisdom in regards to parenting has got to be God's Word. So we need to agree on our big picture vision. We need to agree on principles. We need to agree that God's Word is our primary source. And then this next one is really, really important as well. We need to agree on what our role is as parents. What is it exactly that we're doing here? What is our purpose as parents? Are we just here to feed them, to keep them from, you know, killing themselves, you know, or one another, or destroying the house? I mean, what is it exactly that we're trying to do here? We need to agree on what our role is. And what I would put out there for you guys is that our role is one of disciple maker. Right? Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." If you go through and you look at Scripture, you will find that there's not a ton of passages specifically regarding parenting. You know, and most of them fall within a couple of categories. You know, discipline, spare the rod of discipline, spoil the child, right? Raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Don't frustrate your children. Teach your children. Children should obey your parents. I mean, right? There's not a ton outside of those handful of verses that are specifically, explicitly about parenting. However, just like when we talked about marriage and there not being a plethora of passages specifically about marriage, the same thing goes for parenting. All of those one another's, all of those pieces of scripture that talk about how we are to live together as people, as children of God, apply to our parenting. All of the one another's of scripture need to apply to our children. We need to love and treat our children in accordance with the way that God calls us to love and treat every other brother and sister in Christ that we have. But with the children, our specific role as parents really has to be one of disciple maker. And it has to be the disciple maker in the model of Jesus. So what do I mean by that? There are really four things, I think, that describe the model that Jesus gives us as a disciple maker. The first one is he was a provider. You can see this at the bottom of your screen. He was a provider. Jesus provided for his disciples. He provided for them physically as they followed him. He provided for them spiritually. He provided for them emotionally. He was a provider. As parents, as parent disciple makers, our role is to provide for our children in all of those ways, not in just one or the other, not just physical needs, but physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. The other thing is Jesus was a protector. The disciples were under his protection as he traveled with them. You know, Jesus said, none of those that have been given to me will be taken from my hand, right? Is when they were on the boat crossing the lake and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep. And when he woke up, the first thing he did, you know, he rebuked the wind and the waves. He calmed the storm. He protected his disciples. And so that protection piece is part of our role too as parent disciple makers. And I think those first two we really get. We really understand. The third one is one sometimes we might lose sight of a little bit, and that's the teacher coach. Jesus was a teacher and a coach to his disciples. I know we don't always think of him that way, but he taught them in theory. He taught them through his words, but then he coached them in doing it. He said, you know, watch me, listen to me first, listen to me. Watch me do it. Do it with me. Now you go and do it, and I'll watch you, and I'll coach you. And that's a part of the essential part of being a disciple maker parent. And then the last one is a friend. And this is one that personally I failed at a lot with my own kids because I had this thing that I would say to them sometimes, particularly when I was upset. I would say, I'm not your friend. And usually it was when they said something disrespectful to me. I would come back at them with, you know, I'm not one of your friends. I'm not your friend. And you can't talk to me that way. Now that you can't talk to me or you shouldn't talk to me that way was legitimate, obviously. But I should never have tacked on that first part because it's just not true. And it's not true of Jesus with his disciples. Jesus explicitly told his disciples, you're not my servants. You are my friends. And so if we're going to be disciple makers of our children in the way that Jesus was, we have to be a friend. Granted, it's an older, wiser friend with authority, right? But it's still a friend. It's still a friend. So don't lose sight of that. So provider, protector, a teacher, coach, and a friend. Agree that your role as parents is not one of just a caretaker, is not one of just a disciplinarian. It's not just one of a provider. You are a disciple maker. I guarantee you, if you look at your role that way, that you are discipling a current, a present, or future potential brother or sister in Christ, it'll change the way that you interact with your children. It'll give you just tremendous patience with them that you wouldn't otherwise have. Try it out. It's a small little change in perspective, a small change in mind that I think plays is really, really helpful. So agree on that, norm on that. What is your role as parents? The next one is you really need to, as you talk about these things, you need to sit down, you need to listen to and share honestly with each other. Listen to and share honestly with each other. Talk about things like, what was your experience growing up? How were you, you know, how was parenting done in your home? Who handled discipline? Who do you think should handle discipline in your situation? What is the division of labor in regards to children? What was it growing up? What do you expect that it would be or hope that it would be within your own marriage? Important things to begin to talk about. As you do that, make sure that you are going into it with what I call a positive, flexible spirit. When we take mission teams out on trips, one of the things that we tell them over and over again, pretty much at every single meeting, and then I put it on their packing list, I think 3 or 4 times, is a positive, flexible spirit, because things will change. Things will absolutely change. That's the one thing we know for sure. And we need to be positive, and we need to have a flexible spirit. We can't be rigid in these things. We have to be prepared to compromise with our spouse when it comes to parenting. Relax a little bit. You can always adjust course. If you compromise and you say to your spouse, okay, look, we'll try it your way. It's okay. It's okay to do that. We had to do that on a number of occasions when we didn't completely agree on things. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. It helps to always pray, Lord Jesus, cover for my mistakes. You're not going to mess them up. Okay. So just relax a little bit. You can always change course. So that's then. So we say we need to agree on vision. We need to agree on what the principles are. We need to agree on what our role is. And then we need to listen to and share with one another honestly. The next one is kind of a funny one, but it's very, very helpful as you get into specifics and choosing tactics and strategy is war games. Now, what does that mean? What do I mean by that? It just asks, war gaming things out or running through scenarios. And you can come up, you can just be a little bit creative. You can come up with what they could possibly be. These are the what do we do if, or what do we do when? How will we respond when? So, for example, what do we do if I lose it? Right, you can never imagine that happening. But I lose it and call down some completely unreasonable consequence for something one of the kids did. Right, you're grounded until you turn 20, or I'm taking away your computer privileges for the rest of your life. Things like that. Overreactions. Or maybe they're not that extreme, but they're probably a little bit of an overreaction. How do we plan to deal with that? If we backtrack, how do we plan to present the backtrack? Or is it one of those things where you just, man, we made a crazy consequence. We're just going to have to bite the bullet and go ahead with it to maintain credibility with the kids, right? So begin to war game some of those things. What do we do if one of the children disrespects you or me and, disrespects one of the other of us in front of them? How do I address the children in that situation? What do we do if I shouldn't say if, what do we do if they try to play us off one another? The question is like, what do we do when they try to play us off one another? Because they get really good at that really fast. So those kind of wargaming things are really important. And then also talking about, how do we plan to make decisions regarding the children going forward, maybe that we didn't think of here? Because there's going to be things, scenarios that you don't think of. So what is our plan and what is our process? It's good to have a process. What is our process for making decisions regarding the children here going forward? Really, really important thing to do. Because then you don't have a situation where one or the other of you comes home and a decision has been made that you really would have liked to have had a voice into. But now you run the risk of either undermining, your spouse's credibility or the credibility of the both of you as parents if you try to backtrack from it, those kinds of things. So having a good process in place is really, really helpful. It can help you pause things when something comes up and say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what our position is on that one because we haven't talked about it yet. We haven't discussed it yet. But when your mom gets home, when your dad gets home, we're going to talk about it and we'll come up with something. So war game things out. Run through scenarios. Really, really important. Okay. So those were our guide for getting on the same page and maybe and giving us an idea of what the pages are, right? So we said vision, principles, our source. I skipped that one last time. Our source. What is our agreeing on what our source for parenting wisdom is? What is our role? Agreeing on what our role as parents is. It's disciple makers. Listening and sharing. Listening to and sharing with one another, honestly. And then wargaming things out. So those were our six that we covered. But what we're going to get into next is what do we do if we, as we're going through our tactics and our strategies, what if there's something that we come up to that we can't seem to agree on? I will make this other point. I think of the six that I mentioned, it is essential, absolutely essential, that the two of you agree on those first four. The vision, principles, your source, and your role. Those ones are deal breakers. You, the two of you have to be able to come to an agreement on those first four. It's when you get into strategies and tactics that you're likely to come into and experience conflict or differences of opinion. So what do we do when those happen? Really quickly, I want to go through just a few things, a few keys to working through those. The first one is just be patient. Be patient. Take your time. Each of you should have an opportunity to present your case for why you think this particular strategy or tactic is appropriate. Listen to your spouse's ideas. Listen to their case. Then give yourself some time to you know, sort of retreat, take some time, think it through, process what you've heard before you come back to discuss it further. So be patient. This is not a death match. Right? Getting your spouse to capitulate does not equal victory. That is actually a big loss. What you need is consensus. What you need is consensus and agreement. So be patient. That's the first one. The second one is the seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Remember, this is where we go, you know, we go back. We go back to the word. Go back to the word again. Look at the word together. Pray. And just really honestly, without saying, okay, God, you know, the prayer shouldn't be, Lord, help my spouse see that I'm correct. But just an honest, open, Lord, confirm to me, confirm to my spouse, what is the right way to go here? Take it to the Lord in prayer and be open. Go to trusted resources, right? If you have some parenting books or a particular author that you really like, that has measured up to Scripture over time, if there's a pastor, a blogger, a teacher, somebody, right? So go to some trusted sources of wisdom on that particular subject that you're trying to come to agreement on. So be patient, seek wisdom, pick your battles carefully. You know, go into it and ask yourself as one part of this whole thing is say, how important is this one to me really? And is it more important to my spouse than it is to me? Like, where does it rate on the? Is it a one or is it an eight? And pick your battles carefully because you know what? You know, ask yourself the question, would you be willing to give the other position a try and then just see how it works? Remember what I said earlier, you know, you're not going to mess them up. You can always go back and adjust course if it doesn't work. So sometimes the better part of wisdom is to let your spouse say, okay, we'll try it your way, but really try it. Don't just, you know, don't undermine them while you're saying that, you know, you're going to let them try it their way. Really try it. So pick your battles carefully. Really important thing to keep in mind. And then make sure that you present a unified front. I am not the person that would ever tell you that you should never have an argument in front of your kids. However, I will say this. You should never have an argument about parenting in front of your kids. That is an argument that should not happen in front of the children. You two need to present a united front because, man alive, they will sense if there's division, if there's a weakness to be taken advantage of, they will find it like nobody's business. So present a unified front. Once you guys have come to a decision, whether you are entirely 100% in agreement or if you've just said, we're going to try it your way, when you come out of that room, that to the kids, that's got to sound like you're 100% on board with this. That's a critical, critical point. Don't undermine each other's authority. That's the worst thing that you can do. Absolute worst thing that you can do. If you have a doubt as to whether or not, you know, your kids, if your children ask you a question, you know, the good response is, did you ask your mother? Did you ask your father? What did they say? If I check with them, are they going to agree with that? Right? Because when we respond too quickly, we can undermine our spouse, and we definitely don't want to do that. Because in the end of the day, they're going to grow up, they're going to get a plane of their own and fly off, and then we're going to be stuck with our spouse. And so keep that in mind. Not stuck. That's a terrible way to put it. So present a united front. And then the last one is this. If all else fails and you just can't come to it, and it's a big deal, and you both think it's a big deal, and you're just at loggerheads, get help. Find a trusted mentor couple. Email me or another pastor or a counselor, but get some help. Get an outside third opinion, somebody that can come in and sort of arbitrate and help you to come to a consensus. Keep in mind that you know, we're in this together. You are in this together as a husband and wife, as parents. You're working towards the same goal. That's why I said those first four are so important. If you have those first four solid and you're in agreement on those things, it's going to make everything else a lot easier because you're working towards the same goal. And by the power of the Spirit and employing all your one another's, you guys can work towards agreement in this. And it will end up being a blessing to your children and to your children's children, as the word tells us. So I'd love to go into our discussion questions now. But before I do that, I just want to point out this one thing. Homefront not meeting next Sunday because it's Easter weekend. I know we'll all be worshiping together online. Hopefully you'll find some ways to worship together as a family at home. I know we're trying to figure out what we're going to do here as well to celebrate to the best of our ability while not being able to gather with the rest of the body. So keep that in mind. We'll be back together again April 19th for our next part in the next stop in the series, annual maintenance check. So we definitely want you to come back for that, and you'll get an email about it. So here's our questions, and you can pause, leave these on the screen, or if you got the email, you can look at those as well. What would a vision for parenting include? What words would you use to describe the goal? That's the first one. Second, parents, what is or was your area of greatest disagreement when it came to parenting? And how have you worked those disagreements out? And three, what are some principles for parenting in your view? And then finally, how does or could viewing your role as a disciple maker change your approach to, should say approach to parenting there? So just fell off the bottom of the screen. How would that change of a perspective change your approach to parenting? So those are our questions. If you are part of a Zoom group, Homefront Zoom group, and good for you. If you're not and you would like to join the one that Patricia and I host on Sunday morning, we'll start at 9:30 in the morning this Sunday. And if you look in the Homefront email, you will see the link for the Zoom meeting, and so we'd love to see you there. We had a good time with the couples that joined us last week, so hopefully we'll be more of us this week. And don't worry, if you've got kids and they're screaming and yelling and running around, you can always mute yourself and still be able to listen, and then just jump in, unmute yourself and jump in to the conversation. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about kids. We love kids. And besides, this whole series on this whole talk today was on parenting. So God bless you guys. We're praying for you. So please stay in touch. If you have any prayer requests, anything like that, you can email them to me, MikeMyers@restandbible.org. And we'd love to be praying for you guys specifically. God bless you, and we'll talk to you real soon.